Welcome back to Restless Minds. This is the first episode of season 2, but it's actually episode 23. Took us ages to work that out.
Can you tell we haven't recorded in a while?
Today we're talking about signs your child has ADHD. Over to you, Timmy.
Quick disclaimer before we start, everyone experiences ADHD, OCD and mental health in general differently, and we only speak from our own experiences, which may be totally different to yours. We also are not mental health professionals, but we do encourage anyone who thinks they may be affected to seek professional advice and diagnosis. Welcome back, honey. Welcome back to Restless Minds. How do you feel?
Welcome back.
Episode 1 of season 2. Episode 23
of
whatever.
Yeah, I just shrunk one of my favourite cardigans in the washing machine, so I'm not feeling great about that, but otherwise fine. And also, as we're going to talk about, researching this episode was so depressing.
Yeah, not a fun one.
Every study is like, your child is broken, your child is horrible, your child has no friends, these are all signs they have ADHD, your child can't read.
It's insane.
Your child's basically a little prick, that means they have ADHD.
Yeah, it wasn't the most exhilarating or encouraging set of facts to read. How to, like, a lot of the things are like how to deal with your child, and one of the things I read on one of the pages was like any deviation from the agreed rules must be punished. And I was like, punished is a bit of an intense one for kids trying to just like exist. Yeah, not the best. But yeah, I think this episode was Ellie's idea. I think we just wanted to focus on ADHD in children, because we had a few people message us saying they listen and it helped them kind of with their kids and stuff, so we wanted to focus more on like the child side of things for anyone listening who has children or people that go on to have children, to understand what to look for, and also I guess from our point of view what we found ADHD like as children.
Signs, basically, especially if you know you're a teacher or you work with kids as well, this could be handy for you.
Okay,
so obviously with ADHD, there are different types. There's inattentive ADHD, hyperactive ADHD, impulsive ADHD, or a combination of all three. So depending on which type you have, you're going to exhibit slightly different symptoms. And also, obviously, every kid is different. So this is not like a prescriptive list whatsoever. But some examples of the kind of things that indicate that a child might have ADHD are things such as they struggle with self-management. So like a big inconsistency of behavior, and often children with ADHD will develop at different rates to maybe what's expected of them at a certain age. So people with ADHD and children with ADHD are often considered more immature than the average child for that age. However, they could also actually do things a lot quicker. Like, for example, they could start talking at a much younger age than other children. I know that I started talking really early. I don't know about you, Timmy.
I have no idea. Literally have no idea.
Okay,
I should text my mum. I'm gonna text my mum.
Text your mum. Another thing that I thought was quite funny but is very true is that children with ADHD are more frequently injured. So a guy called Stephen Henshaw reviewed studies which found a much greater likelihood of poisonings, broken limbs, head injuries and other accidents requiring hospitalization in children with ADHD. And I mean, I can attest to this. I've actually, touch wood, never broken a bone, but constantly getting bruises, constantly banging into things, constantly just hurting myself, getting stung by bees because I go too near them, things like that. But have you broken bones?
I have broken a bone, but it was like a third toe. I broke it playing basketball at school, and it's funny because I'm terrible at sport. But other than that, I'm actually not at all in any way injury prone. I'm quite a cautious, like, scaredy kind of person, so I don't really actually do things that could lead to me getting injured, such as sport. Or exercise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a massive risk taker in terms of physical stuff. Like, I was shit at climbing trees, but it was more that I was like, because I'm inattentive, and this is what the study said, it's things like you're less likely to wait for an adult to help you cross the road. Or like when I was tiny, I walked out into the road around the car and my mom nearly had a heart attack because I was just like oblivious.
Yeah.
Things like children are more determined to climb up into high places or to do things themselves. So I used to climb up onto the kitchen counter to eat sugar out the sugar bowl with a spoon. Because the poor little me needed stimulation. Oh, things like that, but then I'd hit myself or I could fall off. So you're more impulsive also, like they move really quickly or too fast, have less spatial awareness or more likely to run into things. More impulsive, so like running around too quickly, moving too fast, not having any spatial awareness, so banging into things, quicker to grab things that are hot or sharp, and like wanting to do things yourself. So you're more likely to climb up and try and make a cup of tea, or as I did, cook rice in a frying pan, things like that.
I do actually, I also can see like the inattentive thing, like not paying attention, like quite often even now, like as an adult, sometimes I'm walking, I don't really pay attention to what I'm walk, like what's around me. I bump into a cover, the edge of a table, or like I get my jacket caught on like a door mm-hmm. handle. So I get like, I like that kind of stuff. I always am, like, bashing myself on stuff. See, I actually, yeah. I can imagine as a child, it's probably heightened because you're just not paying attention, like bashing your head into a door when you're running around.
Exactly. And obviously this is difficult because all children run around and all children are clumsy and don't notice everything and are a bit oblivious. So obviously if your child like bangs into stuff sometimes, that doesn't mean they have ADHD. And again, ADHD is a complex disorder and can look like a lot of other things. So your child could be really anxious or they could be dealing with something else. It might look like ADHD, but it's not. But obviously it's about how many of the kind of combos of different stuff they have that might mean they have ADHD. Another one is that you're more oppositional, argumentative, and demanding as a child. So more quick to have a tantrum if you're not able to get what you want or what you want to eat or what you want to do. I mean, I also think a lot of this obviously relies on parenting and how you're parented and obviously also your personality. I think I've talked to my mum about it. And growing up, I would sometimes get upset if I didn't like certain things that I had to eat. But then again, so do a lot of children. And then I just get over it and I would eat it. And I think I wasn't a huge tantrumer, do you know what I mean? But it's sort of said in a lot of studies that we were reading that you're more likely to argue with siblings. And a 2001 study found that children with ADHD demonstrate more than twice the level of non-compliance.
Really?
Yeah. But then again, I think this is very social and gendered yeah. and also cultural. As a woman, I was really well behaved at school and at home, and I didn't want to be naughty. I was too scared to be naughty.
Yeah.
So I remember once the teacher said to me, in like to all of us in year five, she was like, today we're going to be colouring in this or whatever again. And I rolled my eyes inside. I was like, oh, because we'd been doing that every day and I was really bored of it. And I remember she called me.
How old were you when this happened?
So rude. And I was so scared and I was so embarrassed. And that was like the only time I've ever been naughty at school. And that all I did was roll my eyes. And I know you, Timmy, have spoken before about how your parents, you know, raised you in quite a strict.
Yeah, I was going to say, I completely agree with you. Like, I do think with as anything, like there's definitely going to be a social angle. And so even though I might not have wanted to do what I was told in school or class, like my worst fear was getting in trouble at school and getting told by my parents or like vice versa. So like the things I didn't like eating or doing as a kid, my mum would be like, you need to eat dinner because it's dinner. And I just would kind of get over it. But I guess if you were raised by parents who maybe were a bit more like amenable to just like letting you do what you want and being like, oh, you don't like peas, don't eat peas, then of course it's going to display more. But yeah, I was kind of, I just did what I was told as a child.
Yeah. So. You're compliant to the max.
Yeah, she was like, whatever you say, guys.
Little yes man.
Although then I think that's why I think when I had these like bad behavior bursts or bouts, it was more shocking because I was normally so well behaved. And I guess similar to you, when you just get so bored of something or so irritated that like you like suddenly act up, it's out of character. So then that would kind of get confused with like me being badly behaved, and they'd be like, no, but you're normally so well behaved, this isn't like you. I'd be like, I know it's not like me, I don't know what happened, I just lost my mind for like 10 minutes. So yeah,
who was he?
Who is he?
My alter ego. Yeah, it's funny you say that about food thing as well, because when I was researching recently for my blog post about ADHD and eating, there's stuff about, you know, kids with ADHD are often seen as fussy eaters. I actually wasn't that fussy, but it's not, technically it's not fussy eating. It's called like selective eating, and it's can also develop into an eating disorder in some instances. But it's the fact that for some people, just like smells, tastes and textures are way more intense. And depending on like the chemistry of your mouth or whatever. And it's common with ADHD because obviously we're more sensitive to things like labels on clothes and smells and sounds. That food is just more intense for us sometimes, so therefore we get a bigger gag reaction and things are disgusting. So rather than a kid being fussy because they want to be difficult, it's actually they actually
it's
really
repulsive to their body.
Yeah,
their mouth is literally like, oh my god, what the hell is this? Yeah, like it's actually like exactly. triggering a violent reaction. Yeah, I had that a few weeks ago with blood. Like, I not that I'm like eating blood for fun on the weekends or anything, but like ended up going to like two or three different steak places across the weekend. And it was when I had gastroenteritis. Maybe I was sick, but like,
my dog had gastroenteritis recently.
Oh my god, me and your dog are literally best friends. We were in Flatiron, and obviously they have like, it just smells of like bloody meat, and like I can't explain, like I honestly felt like throwing up the whole time I was there. So we sat outside, couldn't eat my food. Then it kept happening, like I had a week where like certain tastes or smells would make me want to throw up, and I normally was fine with them. Then after a week I was fine, so I can relate to the strong gag mouth chemical composition thing.
Totally.
You said.
And, you know, I think that's also to do with ADHD meds. But as you said, like, you've got a really sensitive tummy. Partly people with ADHD tend to have, like, worse bowels and shit like that. And I've written before about how, like, I almost get like a pregnant lady when I'm on my pills of, like, certain things make me really gag and I get cravings for other foods and stuff. So, but, you know, maybe you should just become a vegetarian like me.
I was actually talking about this yesterday. Two of my friends I saw in Bristol, live a vegetarian. I actually am a vegetarian in my soul and my heart. Like, I know it's right. I completely agree with
yes.
it. I
think would the whole thing is wrong. But, like,
I just love meat. But I think I'm going to try and start. Maybe that's going to be my thing this year. It's like just doing like 2 days or 3 days a week where I just don't have any meat, which I actually sometimes end up doing. Like now when I'm at home and I'm cooking, I'm like, when I'm cooking, I actually don't always use meat. Like when I'm at home and I'm working from home, sometimes I go to cook and I'm like, what's the meat going to be? And then I'm like, actually, you don't need meat in this. You can just have a pasta sauce and I make a pasta sauce. So I am trying to make more of a conscious effort to it, but it's just like Nigerian food is basically all meat based. Or if not, there's like a stock in it that comes from meat. So it's all like very meaty. So I've just kind of grown up on like meat. But one day I'd like to get to a place where I'm like flexi vegan, flexi veggie or whatever, but
I don't think we're ever going to be vegan, but yeah, veggie is a good place to aim, I feel.
I will try.
Right. Another thing that's pretty neg is that kids with ADHD apparently have more behavioral problems and negative social behavior with peers. So a 2002 study of girls aged between 6 and 12 at a summer camp found that girls with ADHD developed fewer friendships, which I thought was really sad. And in the ADHD group, that sounded so non-genuine. It's really sad.
No, that's so sad.
That is upsetting. A lot of women that I'm in the ADHD group with on Facebook write about how they found it throughout their whole life really difficult to make friends. They feel like outcasts. They feel that they're different. Interestingly enough, I don't relate to this that much. I think at school, I definitely fell out with people sometimes and I didn't always have a friendship group. And there was a time in like year 9 and 10 where I didn't really have any friends. But I think as an adult, especially, or like later in my teens, I love connecting with people. And I think because I don't have a filter, because I've got ADHD, people always say, oh, Ellie, you're so open. It makes me feel like I can tell you things. And my friendships are such a big part of my life. I can't really remember. As a kid, I think I always had some friends. But I was thinking about why this might be. And I was thinking that as an ADHD kid, and Timmy, I don't know if you'll relate to this, but you have like a strong sense of right and wrong. And I feel like it takes you longer to get over being hurt by somebody or wronged. If a kid was mean to me, I wouldn't want to be friends with them again. I wouldn't hate them, but I would just get that sense of like, I don't trust you now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd blurt out secrets. I'd sometimes take jokes too far just to be funny, not meaning to be mean, but then realizing I'd upset somebody. I'd be really blunt. And like things like your executive functioning's off. So like, I wasn't a very good listener, you know?
I do completely agree with what you're saying about taking longer to get over being hurt by someone. Like, I used to really struggle as a kid in school when, you know, you get in a disagreement and someone's mean to you and then you makes you cry and the teacher like makes the person apologize to you and then you're supposed to just go back to being friends with them. I would be like, I accept the apology, but I don't want to be your friend anymore, because I just like, I would find it really hard to just like move from one state to the next. I don't know, like as a kid, I think I had friends, I didn't have like many very close friends at school. Like, I didn't really have a group, and like, again, like my school, everyone kind of lived like on the street behind the school, so they all hang out and like their mums all knew each other. I didn't know anyone, and I also was black and there was no other black people really, so it's kind of weird. But I did have friends, but then I think made more of my friends in secondary school. But I can see, like, I think executive function as well, like sometimes just not listening to people, not being able to control your impulses sometimes, like as a kid, it's fine when you're young, but as you start getting older and like going up through the years of school, then people kind of expect you to understand how to behave like with other people and in certain situations, which wasn't always the case.
I think secondary school's maybe easier for that in a way, though. I don't know, because maybe kids, when you're a bit older, you kind of connect with people more that are similar to you. But when you're like 6 or 5,
you haven't really formed into a human being yet. You haven't got interests.
Then I've watched like A Secret Life of 4-Year-Olds, and they're all so different. You see their different little personalities, you know, the leaders, the ones that are very, you know, insular, the ones that are kind of troublemakers. So I think,
but I do think as a child, you're evolving and changing at such a big rate as you're growing. Like, you go through like, one second you love Sonic the Hedgehog, then you love like this, then you love skateboarding, then you like, you like kind of go through big shifts quite quickly. So like, your sense of self is constantly shifting.
I think
shifting,
as you said, when you get
secondary school.
What I meant was by the kids being like that is like, it's not just like, oh, the ADHD kids are weird and all other children are perfect. What I mean is like, some kids are naturally more boisterous, some kids are more dominant, you know? So it's like,
kids,
I feel
all
like
different,
these studies are so negative. And I mean, there was this 2013 study that examined how the real life dynamic friendships of 87 children with ADHD compared to children with non-ADHD. And this was kids between 7 and 13 years. And they did it at the beginning, and then they waited 6 months and did a follow-up like questionnaire. And after 6 months, the friends of the participants with ADHD reported less positive friendship quality and more conflict with their friends. They were also considerably less satisfied with their friendship. Who's asking a seven-year-old how satisfied with their friendship they
They're
are?
Also kind of like loaded questions.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's like, was the friendship bad with your ADHD friend? Yes, tick, tick, tick. Like, how are they measuring that and actually deciding that, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a scientific experiment, so I can't really argue, but still.
And maybe the kids that are friends with the ADHD kids are just little brats, little bitches.
That's what I'm going
to say. Ever
thought
of that? Huh? No, but
yeah,
I mean,
some of these... I don't know, like...
Statistically, though, we can't ignore that statistically the studies do say that children with ADHD and adults with ADHD find it harder to form and maintain friendships. So that is something to look out for if you're a teacher or a parent, a child with ADHD. It's really sad. In one of the book I was reading, she was saying about how her daughter is like never invited to sleepovers, kind of outcast by the other girls. It's also important to note that it's common to have ADHD with autism, and that could be something else that's undiagnosed. So children with autism potentially like misread social cues and things like that, and therefore that can lead to other children kind of ostracizing them. Obviously not in all cases, but maybe that's something to keep in mind as well. But if your child is experiencing that, then that's also sort of a sign.
Yeah, and I just have, like, whilst you're on that point about autism and other comorbid conditions people can have, so in children with ADHD there are others, they can have conditions or symptoms that kind of look like other anxiety disorders. So you can likely also have anxiety disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, conduct disorder, depression, sleep problems, autism, as Ellie said, dyspraxia, epilepsy, Tourette syndrome. So like, again, within the kind of neurodiverse space of conditions, sometimes they can overlap, and like you might have something that looks like ADHD but actually something else, or it could be ADHD and then also anxiety. So like, I think it's important to, as Ellie said, like when you see symptoms in your child, like try and keep note of what they are, and then you can go into a meeting with a professional and form and kind of explain, and they can test for those different kind of conditions. But yeah, they can and often do overlap.
Yeah, totally. And then sort of carrying on almost from the theme of friendships there, it's common apparently for children with ADHD to have language impairments. So having...
Sorry. I used to have a stutter. I used to have a really bad, not really bad, but I used to have like a stammer, but carry on.
I think I said this before when you said that, but there was a study I read that said that children with stammers or stutters actually develop a way broader vocabulary because they have to learn certain words they can say to replace other words. So
yeah, there were words I would avoid.
But yeah, so language impairments and also kind of like finding communication difficult in other ways. So as we said, kind of not listening or communicating slightly differently. Like one thing I read was saying how kids with ADHD like muddle up their stories and get like the times confused, or like the beginning, middle and end confused. So they're really bad at storytellers. And I was like, I am a shit storyteller. But it's so cute, but so sad. So other children don't want to listen to their stories. But I mean, this is all so negative. But then I wanted to shove in some positive stuff, because I read a study that was literally called like positives of adult ADHD, but I think it applies to children. And they broke it down into six core themes of positives. And they are cognitive dynamism, yeah, courage, energy, humanity, resilience, and transcendence. And I think with children, this can kind of be translated into things like creativity, brilliant at imagining games, imagination games, a sense of empathy, kindness, and being non-judgmental. And I said to my sister today, I was like, we're doing this episode, what's one positive of having a sister with ADHD? And she was like, I'm busy, I'm out, but making up games.
Oh my god. So. Your sister sounds like my sister. Yeah, I had a few as well for positives of ADHD in children. So obviously creativity, Ellie said, flexibility, enthusiasm, spontaneity, and energy and drive. And I think all of these things are like, of course, there are parts of this that are important for parents to support and help the child manage, but also there are things that you should encourage as well, like being creative or flexible or being energetic and having like a drive, or just being like an energy in the house, and like noticing when your child switches between those different states of ADHD, right? Like at those times, a lot of good things can come out of that, like ideas, performances, stories, games, like entertaining other children. Like I was always kind of good with other kids because I would make things into games. I liked just being playful and stuff. And so like,
exactly,
me being hyper was kind of good for my parents. They just leave it with all the other kids, and I just like, I would just run a group of kids around the garden for hours and it'd be fine.
It's so the same. I think it's funny though, because on the negative side of that slightly, I remember that I would sometimes dominate things. And I know my sister said this before, not because I wanted to be the center of attention, but because I was so excited and I was so loud and I kind of wanted to, like, you know, be this vehicle for the games. It did mean sometimes I think I kind of took over and other people didn't really get a look in. But props to my mum that she would always pull me aside in a really nice way and not in front of other people, and just sometimes be like, you know, make sure other people are having a turn, or like, make sure your sister is, you know, being part of it and stuff. And I do think that's important. If you've got a child with ADHD, what can be seen as like being domineering maybe is actually probably them just being completely self, like, absorbed, but in the game and wanting everyone to have fun. And I think part of managing that is just to make sure, just to be like, you're doing an amazing job and, you know, you're making this really fun for everybody, but just make sure that other people are getting a turn and things like that.
Good parenting from your mum.
I know, great mum. And actually, my mum sent me this lovely voice note that we'll insert now, because I was really upset after reading all this negative stuff. So I said to her, what's some positives about having a little girl with ADHD? And this is what she said.
Hello, my darling. You asked for some positives about your ADHD, and I just wanted to say that there were so many. Obviously, at the time, I didn't know it was ADHD, but you were always so full of life, so ready to entertain people, to think of interesting games that you did, just made up on the spot. You were always full of joy. I mean, obviously inside I now know that you were worried about things and everything, but you were just like the best fun to have around. And you were very empathic as well. You could see if other people weren't having such a great time, you'd want to get them to join in and stuff.
Speaking of empathy, I was really interested because some studies were saying that children with ADHD have less empathy, and I was like, in my experience of the number of people I know with ADHD, that's just not true. I just found one study that assessed the cognitive and emotional empathic competence in a total of 96 12-year-old boys. And they found that children with the predominantly inattentive subtype were significantly more emotionally empathic than boys with combined ADHD when presented with simple tasks. And there were no group differences between ADHD and non-ADHD kids in terms of emotional recognition. So they all could recognize emotions in the same way. But that was interesting about inattentive ADHD as potentially being more empathic. But I think that also shows that there's quite a significant difference between the types of ADHD. Like, if you are more hyperactive, and I have combined type, that does mean you're going to be restless a lot of the time. A kid who's maybe bouncing off the walls, whether internally or externally. So it's going to be harder for them to, for example, listen, to notice how people are feeling, etc., because they are basically have this motor on inside of them that's really uncomfortable. And it's not that they aren't kind, but it's just that they're running on a kind of need for stimulation, which takes over everything else.
Because you're saying about empathy, one of the things I read that was emotional recognition. I read something saying that people with ADHD had less emotional recognition, which I found kind of weird. But then I thought, actually, I guess with the overlap with autism, at times people with autism can have issues recognizing expressions and eyes and facial recognition and stuff. So I guess it can be either or. But then as you also said, right, like, even within ADHD there are different types, and there's the two singulars and then there's the combined. So this is, I also think, a point that is important for anyone listening with kids or around kids, like cousins or brothers or whatever, nephews, nieces, and teachers as well, is that it's not going to be the same in every child. So you have to kind of understand the behaviors and how they're exuding from your specific child and understand what that means. Obviously, if you have a child that is a certain way and they're doing behaviors that seem different from that, then that might be a sign that they're behaving in that different way because of ADHD or whatever. But it's not going to be the same. Like, every child's going to be hyper running around. And I actually got some myths and facts to kind of go through for kids with ADHD. So the first myth is that all kids with ADHD are hyperactive, but the fact is actually that some children with ADHD are hyperactive, but many others with attention problems are not. So children with ADHD who are inattentive but not overly active may appear to be more spaced out and unmotivated. So again, what I was saying before about not being the same in every child, like, I think a lot of people assume that if you have ADHD you're just running around hyper, like, screaming, bashing stuff around, which is just
boy.
A stereotype, which isn't true, because I was never like that as a kid. I was never running around
literally weren't. Internally you were more like meh, but
yeah, exactly. The next myth is that kids with ADHD can never pay attention. The fact is that actually children with ADHD are often able to concentrate on activities they enjoy, but no matter how hard they try, they have trouble maintaining focus when the task at hand is boring or repetitive. Again, why Ellie was rolling her eyes and sighing, having to do that stupid task again and again, which I also found weird at school. Go ahead.
Good point. No, sorry. I was just going to say, like, a kid that loves maths might really enjoy doing their maths homework, but when it comes to doing other homeworks, they are literally
like creative writing.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like a child, your child might love art, so they can focus on that for 6 hours, but then they can't, you know, they don't want to do anything else. And obviously all children, no one wants to do homework, but we're talking about patterns where a child is actually sat down with you and you're trying to engage them and they're literally unable to focus on it, however hard they try.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point, like, they're trying, they just can't maintain the focus they wish to have. Another myth is that kids with ADHD could behave better if they wanted to. Now, again, this just sounds stupid, but I know a lot of people do believe this, and I used to have this kind of thing, oh, just help, just they need better parents. But it's more than that, right? Children with ADHD, the fact here is that they may try their best to be good but are still unable to sit still or stay quiet or pay attention. This is what we're coming back to about, you know, before with focus. They're trying to do the thing that they've been asked to do, but they actually just really struggle to maintain to do that. And so they may appear disobedient, but it doesn't mean they're acting out on purpose. As we said, there's a chemical kind of neurological background to this. And so that affects the way that the desire they have may be different from how they behave and the behavior that they display. So don't blame it on the kids.
I saw a picture of a classroom somewhere where the kids with ADHD have these special seats where they have like spokes attached to it. So there's no wheels, but they can basically pedal while they're learning, because that really helps you focus if you're doing something else physical. I want to get one. That's, I think that's so cute.
Electric leg or jelly leg, which I always get when I'm, if I haven't taken my meds and I'm trying to focus and I really need to focus, or like the wearing off, I end up just shaking my leg loads, because I'm like doing something physical that's like keeping that other part of my brain occupied that could get distracted. It helps me focus in. I was doing it on the train on the way back from Bristol today, and I realized someone was staring at me and my leg was just like, so I had to,
you know, restless leg syndrome is actually another sign of ADHD in anybody, but especially in children. And that links to one thing I wanted to say about how sleep, even as a toddler, I couldn't have naps. And my mum said she'd lie there with me for 2-3 hours and I'd just be twiddling her hair and I could not sleep. And to this day, I've never had a nap in my life other than when I was really hungover. And I can't go to sleep until really late, because people with ADHD, your circadian rhythm is like 2 or 3 hours late than the average person. So if you have a child who resists going to bed, finds it really hard to fall asleep, even when they're exhausted, who does not like napping and can't nap, that's another surefire sign that they could have ADHD.
Yeah. And I think, like, I used to get really annoyed at my parents as a kid when they would tell us to go to bed at 10. Because I was like,
at 10?
What the actual hell?
That's so late.
Really?
As a little kid?
Sorry, I'm talking about like secondary school.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's...
As a younger child, I just couldn't fall asleep.
It was like 8 p.m.
How old are you?
Like 7, 8, 9.
Obviously when I was 7 or 8, yeah, like it was like 8 or 8:30. But even then, like, I remember so distinctly as a child lying in bed and just literally not being able to fall asleep and being able to hear my parents talking downstairs and like just wishing I could be awake because I wasn't tired. And then I'd end up falling asleep when they ended up coming upstairs at like 12 to go to bed. I used to just find it annoying that I was being made to go to sleep when I wasn't actually tired because my mind was like racing like a million miles an hour. And then like, it continued.
With my sister, and I just chat to her for hours until she eventually was like, shut up. And I'd be singing, and this, I did this in the car as well. I'd like annoy her so much to the point where mum would be screaming at me. But that was a horrible side of ADHD, of like, I didn't want to upset anyone, but it was almost like I just couldn't stop because I was probably so bored singing
like,
or doing the same
singing.
Thing that was annoying her. Georgie would actually be crying. She'd be like, I can't take it anymore. I'm so sorry, G. But like talking to her all night, so like she could not sleep. I'd just be like, I need someone to chat to. But then she'd eventually always fall asleep.
Another myth I have as well, kids will eventually grow out of ADHD. So ADHD often...
Oh my God, they thought this until 2006. Sorry.
Which is crazy, right? No, but it's crazy. It often doesn't always 100% of the time, but most of the time it will continue into adulthood. So I think people, again, it comes back to the whole kind of like stigma of like, be a good parent, be strict, be more firm, and they'll outgrow it or stop it. But obviously like you can't outgrow your brain. So the only thing, the way to really deal with it properly is treatment to help your child manage or minimize their symptoms. And the final myth that I have is medication is the best option for ADHD, which is not always the case. The fact is that medication can be prescribed for ADHD, but it might not be the best option for your child. As we said, every child is different, so make sure you look into different types of treatment, which could include a different education that in schools that are targeted for people with learning difficulty, sorry. Behavioral therapy, support at home, school, exercise, and proper nutrition. There are many different ways to tackle it, and it's individual. So make sure you approach it in a way that fits and works for you and your family.
And it also depends on the severity of your child's ADHD and the type of ADHD. Because I have a good friend whose brother has really extreme ADHD and has been medicated since he was a young child. And without that medication, he, bless him, like literally couldn't even focus on anything. And he was having an awful time. And that medication has been amazing for him. Whereas somebody else with like less severe ADHD, maybe medication is not the best option. So as you say, it's totally personal.
Nice. I also have a final like list of do's and don'ts for parents with kids with ADHD. Just a little mini list of things that can be useful to help you support your child. So do's, try and create structure. It's useful to have some kind of routine that the child kind of knows they can go around when they're younger. Just they kind of have an idea of what the typical day is. Of course, things will change, but knowing that like, okay, I've got to try and get ready for this time and have, like, I'm going to have dinner at this time and I can relax and whatever is useful. Just so they can kind of, I guess it helps with the fact that like when you grow up, you have to have a routine and structure.
I'm just laughing because if you have a kid with ADHD, you probably have ADHD as well. So good luck.
Yeah, literally. No, we're keeping any kind of order going. Another one is breaking tasks into smaller manageable pieces. So if it's homework and it's like going to take them an hour, obviously they're not going to be able to focus for that long. Break it into like 20 minutes and you can have an apple. You can go outside and play. You can play on your phone for a little bit and then come back. That used to really help me. I think when I started revising or like studying at school and having homework, we got loads of homework. I used to find it really hard to just sit and do it. But if I like tell myself when I do this piece, I'm going to go downstairs and watch TV for half an hour and then come back. It made me feel like I basically just focused on getting to the end, which made me actually do it so I could go and play.
Also, so as you said, things like even not sitting down at a desk, but being able to stand up while you're doing work.
Yeah.
Things like that, or like changing up the environment. So your kid does their homework in the kitchen and then another day in the living room and things like that. And even having like music on in the background, stuff like that to help them focus.
Yeah. And simplify and organize your child's life. Like, I'm an adult and I find it hard to organize my life. Like, as a child, like, your child is just going to find it hard to be able to do stuff that you would expect of them or that other kids might be able to do. So if that means, like, helping them pack their school bag.
Yeah. Sorry. I was going to say, they're going to forget to give you letters. So check their book bag. Do you remember book
bags? Completely. Oh, my God. Book bags are like your report.
Yeah. They're going to forget their PE kit. I mean, I'd forget to tell my mum when there was, like, an annoying clothes day. I think now with schools, they probably send out emails. Now it's the digital age. But, you know, your kid is going to be very forgetful. I certainly was. And I know that that was very annoying for people. But, yeah, helping them.
That's a good point, though. Book bags, you just triggered me because I just remembered, like, the amount of times I forgot to get, like, slips signed for school trips or, like, money for school trips and I missed the deadline. Like, didn't get my report signed. I'd have to, like, forge my mum's signature on the train. Like, wouldn't empty my bag with my lunch and then it'd have, like, rotten stuff in it. Like, just, like, the most annoying stuff, like, all the time. My mum was just like, what the hell? But I honestly was like, I just did not remember that that slip existed until I'm, like, on the coach school and they're like, have you got your stuff for school trips? And I'm like, what school trip? And it's just, like, this whole kind of disastrous thing. So, yeah, help your child organise because they won't be able to do it themselves. Another one is limiting distractions when they need to focus. So if you know that the phone's going to be a distraction, help them keep it away and say that, you know, you can come back to it when you're done. Or like if their brother's like something they like, someone they like to play with when they're free, obviously having like one child doing homework and another child like running around that could distract them and then make them want to play is not a good idea. So try separation. Just try and limit things that could draw them off the task, which is obviously impossible to take everything out of the way, but again, as you said, like switching up the environments and creating places where your child can focus.
Definitely. And like, if you need to make dinner, I mean, obviously, okay, I do not have kids, so I'm making this sound like, make it fun. I bet, like, I've looked after my nephews for like 2 hours and I'm absolutely exhausted. So
yeah,
I don't know. It must be absolutely awful and amazing to have kids. But for example, doing a task, like say your child's helping you make dinner. I mean, I don't know if you're allowed, children are allowed to hold knives, but like they're tidying up. But then you could be trying to like do the math questions while they're tidying up and then like write them down. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like try and mix it up together. But I'm saying this, I bet all parents are absolutely knackered and you're all doing a great job. And it's not your fault that your kid is a fucking nightmare. I'm joking. It's not your fault that they're a creative genius who's going to go on and to be really successful.
Good save. My mum used to do when I was younger, and this is not even knowing that I had ADHD, but it used to make tests more exciting is that like I'd write cue cards and then she'd quiz me and like it'd become like a little bit of a game and I'd be revising and I wanted to like get all the like cards right and then that was a way of making revising not fun because it was interactive with another human, so I felt like I was actually like having fun rather than just like me writing and testing myself. So that's one thing that obviously depends on the age of your child, of course. Like I was older then, but I think
It's interesting as well, because with the non-compliance thing, I'm thinking now, it's funny because whenever I ring my mum to complain, say I'm complaining about work, or like I used to complain about uni, whenever she'd be like, well, why don't you just do it at this time, or you need to do your homework. Although my mum was pretty lax, like she let us do it. I get so irrationally angry. I'm like, I don't want you to give me advice. I just need to give me sympathy. And actually I hate when she try and be practical and be like, oh, well, if you don't work today, you could do 6 hours tomorrow. I just get this like anger of like
being told
don't
to
sit
compliance.
Which obviously is really fucked up, but I think that must be really hard with ADHD kids, of like, you know how ADHD time is now or not now, and also the non-compliance. If you're like, you need to do your homework right now, and they're just like no. If they're well behaved like us, but internally that makes them feel like horrific,
really naughty,
like that must be really hard. But I suppose finding times when they find it easier to focus, or like when they feel in the mood. But I don't
also know. Another thing is like, watch out, if your child's smart, they'll find ways to like play with the rules. Like I knew that I could do my homework in like 10 minutes if I was like lucky on a bus sometimes. So I'd be like, yeah, done my homework, and then I would rush it because I like was, I guess, lucky enough to be, I was kind of like twig staff, where I'd like find ways to like spend as little time as possible doing things. And so like sometimes I'd hand in a piece of homework, they'd be like, did you do this on the bus? And I'd be like, no, I did it at home. But like clearly it was rushed, and I wouldn't like fail.
Like,
it'd
off
be
the
okay
page on the bus.
Yeah.
Jolted.
So make sure you check if your child says they've done their homework. And then one of the final few I had was encourage out loud thinking, which I think is good for any child, not necessarily just with ADHD, but like let your child have the ability to express their thoughts, and like even if it might not be what you want to hear, or like it's not the right time, I think it's
I
good
hate
to
you.
Give...
Do you?
Yeah,
well
let's
done.
Talk about it. Let's talk about it, honey. Proud of you. Yeah, but I think giving your child space to vocalize and externalize some of the things they might have going on in their heads as a kid might A, help you learn things that might be of concern that you want to get checked out, and also help them feel that they can express themselves freely and aren't like weird for having kind of like these swings of energy and moods.
And there's loads of good stuff online of like posters and things you can just look up on the internet that describe different feelings, because if you say to a kid who's like 6, how do you feel, they probably don't have the vocabulary and their brain can't connect, oh, I feel confused. But whereas if you have like get up something on the computer that's got all these different words like angry, sad, happy, then they can actually have options to work with. Or you could be like, okay, do you feel angry today, do you feel, you know, excited, and then that will help them identify their feelings, whereas just asking them out of nowhere, it's really hard. It's like really hard to think on the spot, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. I think also one I just thought of, like, do the research. I think there's like, there isn't as much, it's better now than when we were kids.
Well, listening to our podcast is technically research.
That's good. And like, I think like,
sorry,
you
but
probably will
we
have
should
friends.
Be fucking, we should be like, we're like Super Nanny right now. I feel like we should be child.
I loved
like,
Super Nanny as a kid.
Yeah,
I loved, because I used to think, I wish I could behave like those kids, because I could never do that. I'd get thrown down the stairs. But like, I'd be like, wow, like, look at that child saying no to his mum, like putting his hand in her face and poking the nanny and like getting off the stairs on time. I was like, you guys are wild. I was like, I wish I was on Super Nanny. But
imagine how embarrassing that would be as an adult having an episode about you though. Like King
I don't
Curtis,
know why people
like...
let their kids go on that show.
I know, like, I mean, they're at that wit's end, but I know it is embarrassing. There was one I saw that was awful, where it was like a family, the mother was basically addicted to having babies, which is a thing, but like you get such a high from having a kid. So she had like 12 children, and the older daughter and son, they were only like 12. They were basically being left to like care
Take
for all the children. It was actually really awful, but it's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, as well as like reading as well, like try and find, there are loads of community groups and Facebook pages, like find mothers or fathers because of ADHD, and that you can talk about your experiences and like tactics they have that are useful for them, and you can kind of share stuff, speak to teachers who might be able to guide you on how to help at home and vice versa, and just check with the school and use the resources you have. I think obviously it's a problem shared is a problem halved, they say, but I think it's good to kind of speak
and
to other
also,
people and let your child have friends that have ADHD as well, so they can kind of
such a good point. I was just going to say, like, we both had undiagnosed ADHD as kids. We grew up in loving homes and we're fine. Like, you know, we've got our issues, but so does everyone. I just think, like, don't worry. You're doing a great job, I'm sure, as a parent. Your kid is fine. Things are difficult with ADHD and it does make life difficult, but I just don't want people to listen to this and panic or think that they're,
it's not like a death sentence, yeah.
No.
Like, we both have jobs, we have friends, we have fun, like, we did okay at school, we got degrees, like, it isn't like, and I guess that's the main thing we want to kind of end on and finish with, like, it is not that bad, right? Like, it's a condition, it's a mental health condition.
It is bad, but it's not, like...
But it's not like, oh my God, my child had ADHD, like, what am I going to do, how can I support them, you know?
Love them and listen to them, all the normal things, exactly.
Just be a good parent and your child will love you, and that's it.
Just be a good parent, it's as easy as that, guys.
Yeah, I think like for us, our parents didn't even know we had ADHD, but I think having
I only had one parent, so I didn't even have to.
Sorry.
And she did a fucking amazing job. No, that's what I'm saying. So like, and I'm so grateful for that. So as in, even if you're a single parent or whatever, mm-hmm. you're doing a great job. As long as you're listening to them and you're loving them, you're doing great.
In fact, you're here listening to us means that you want to learn, which is the most important thing, the willingness to change and support. Well done to all parents of kids with ADHD. Shout out to my parents.
I love that thing on Valentine's Day that was like, happy Mother's Day to all women dating men.
Oh my God, so true. Unlucky. I think, yeah, that's all I had though, actually.
Same.
But yeah, I mean, be happy kids with ADHD, be happy parents of kids with ADHD. It gets better. And I think the thing is, you'll learn how to live with your child and how to best do it.
Sorry. Diagnose is the best thing, because once you understand something, then you can manage it.
You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was trying to say, but I couldn't say it.
I mean, that is kind of what you said. Yeah, no, exactly. Timmy's completely right. So like, this is the start of a big journey if you're noticing signs in your child, but that's the best thing ever, because for the rest of their life, us getting our diagnoses changed our lives, because now we understand ourselves better and we can look after ourselves better and work with ourselves better.
Knowledge is power. And that's what I'll leave you guys with for this episode.
Thanks for listening. And remember to follow us on Instagram at Restless Minds Podcast. And we're also on YouTube if you want to listen to our podcast there.
Yes. And we have some guests lined up and we have some new things we're doing, some new content. So watch out. We're back in the new year with some Restless Mind goodies. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Goodbye.